to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn breaks back to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7 patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side to the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky ends 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Glad to have you on board. Another edition of Drive Time right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, coming to you from the mothership tonight, the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore, with a 12-hour sales event continues. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com for all the great deals. As always, this show is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Well, the big news, take a guess. University of Michigan, of course, tonight taking on Villanova for the national championship, and our Cumulus cluster will have two stations carrying that right here on the ticket. Getting underway at 6:30 tonight, we'll start our coverage of, again, University of Michigan taking on Villanova. Then on 98.3 Nash Icon, we will have the Michigan Call. Pregame show activities there start at 8:30. So, again, Michigan taking on Villanova. Tips about 9:20 from the Allodome in San Antonio. Michigan goes in with a record of 33-7. Villanova is 35-4. To set up the show tonight, Sean Windsor, Detroit Free Press columnist, will join us at 5:15 tonight to give us a live preview and a live report. Then at 5:35 tonight, former University of Michigan captain of the 2008-2009 team, David Merritt, will join us again to set up this basketball game tonight. Last line I saw, Villanova favored by about 7.5. You know, I've said this all along. If Villanova wins that game, I think it's a chance it could be a rout. If Michigan wins, I think it's going to be a squeaker. It is the classic matchup, of course, of good defense, the University of Michigan Wolverines, against a hot-shooting Villanova team that seems to make everything, and that includes shots from the arc. So an interesting matchup. Great D against a great offense tonight in the Alamodome in the San Antonio. You know what surprised me a little bit about Villanova and the great shooting night they had on Saturday? Now, you know, I don't know if this is perception or reality, but anytime you see a big-time basketball game played inside a dome, for some reason, you know, I've always had it in my head that it's just a little bit tougher to shoot. Obviously, Villanova on Saturday night, they did not see it that way. They made absolutely everything. In fact, this will be a good question for David Merritt, former Michigan captain, on shooting in a big dome like that, adjusting. Not a lot of, I don't know, stationary objects, I guess, in the background would be a good way to put it. But again, Sean Windsor coming up from San Antonio, David Merritt, former Michigan captain, coming up as well. Hats off. Tigers put one in the win column today by a score of 6-1. Martin had two hits. Castellanos, two hits and an RBI. Victor Martinez, two hits, three RBIs today. Francisco Liriano, he got into the seventh inning for the Detroit Tigers and allowed just four hits. So the Tigers right now are 1-3. If they didn't get robbed in that opener, listen, I think everybody's kind of talked about this at length. And what I'm going to say here is not going to be a lot of different from what most people have said, most people really have weighed in with. But if you got to sit there for 4.5 or 5 minutes to look at a video replay to make a decision, you got to go with the call on the field. And it was funny because Ron Gardner asked for the video, the view of what, you know, what view really determined how the play was going to be ruled in New York. They finally got it. And, again, Ron Gardenhire today, very, very quiet about it. He did say, we heard what we wanted to hear. Now, whether that meant, hey, there was conclusive evidence he was tagged, or number two, our guy blew it. I'm guessing Major League Baseball said, please, here's what we think on this. Could you please keep this to yourself? But here's what we saw. Here's what we didn't see. But again, I get back to the basic premise. If it takes 4.5, 5 minutes to look for something to overturn a call, for crying out loud, you're looking too hard. Go with the call that was made on the field. All right, everybody. Sean Windsor coming up from San Antonio. This is Drive Time. My name's Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. The 12-hour sales event continues through 9 p.m. tonight. Glad to have you on board. Coming up at 5:35 tonight, former University of Michigan basketball captain Dave Merritt will join us again. That's at 5:35. Just a heads up here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. We'll have the national coverage of the game tonight. Coverage gets underway at 6:30. The Michigan call will be on 98.3 Nash Icon, with the festivities getting underway at 8:30. Live report now from San Antonio, the Alamo Dome. Columnist for the Detroit Free Press, Sean Windsor, joins us. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad, Mike. Thanks, as always, for having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. I guess first things first, and I probably know the answer to this, but I'm guessing in San Antonio you've seen a lot of blue and gold.
Oh, well, it's everywhere. Yeah, Michigan certainly has alumni bases in a lot of pockets around the country. The Staples Center last weekend was packed, or I guess a week ago, in downtown Los Angeles, it's probably 90% blue and gold. I don't think we'll see that quite tonight in San Antonio. There are a lot of just sort of interested fans that'll be there, maybe some leftover Jayhawk fans. Kansas travels well, but they'll have a nice contingent. You know how it is. Michigan probably attracts half its students from out of state, and when they graduate, they go back to where they came from, or maybe to new places. So they travel really well.
You know, the maize and blue, I guess I should say that properly. Spoken like a true Ohio State fan, I guess. I apologize for that. You know what surprised me more than anything else, and maybe it was always a misnomer, Sean Windsor, but I was always under the impression, perceived or fact, that once teams get into big domes like that, and there's not a lot of stationary fixtures in a building for shooters to kind of get their range and hone in, I was surprised the way Villanova was able to shoot that ball, record-setting shooting in a big dome like that.
Well, you're right. You just kind of associate the domes with the Final Fours, the way they have those elevated courts in the middle of the dome, in the middle of the football stadiums. You remember when they first did it, they would sort of have it to one side and they'd kind of curtain off part of the stadium, and it was a little bit better in that way. But you're right, Villanova wasn't bothered by it at all. Michigan struggled to shoot a little bit, although part of that was Loyola's defense, and they're not quite the shooting team. Well, they're nowhere near the shooting team Villanova is, but I guess, I think as a team they shoot 40% from three and have on the year, and the height, the basket's 10 feet up, and when you can shoot like that, maybe even that vast expanse in a big dome like the Alamo Dome doesn't bother you.
You know what, Sean? I guess that leads to the next question. I mean, it's a classic matchup here tonight. Again, right here on The Ticket, we'll go to the pregame show at 6:30. a great defensive team, Michigan, that's won 14 straight. 11 of those, by the way, have been away from home, taking on a team that makes buckets from everywhere. So, when you know, if you put a matchup like this together, this is a dream, I guess, for a writer and everybody else. Great D against great offense. Tell me a little bit about the matchup. And let's do it from Michigan's perspective here. 7.5-point favorite, Villanova. If Michigan was to win this game tonight, what would they have done right?
Well, they need to make shots, obviously. And that sounds like such a simple thing, but they have not made shots consistently through this run. Even if you go back into the Big Ten tournament when they were in New York and won there, they didn't shoot great against Iowa. Against Michigan State, they made shots in the second half. Purdue was probably their best effort of this whole postseason. I mean, they were together and made a lot of stuff, obviously, that afternoon in New York. I think it was a Saturday. But I really think it's going to come down to offense, because I think their defense will be okay. I mean, they're not going to stop Villanova. You know how it works in basketball. It's not like baseball where you have a pitcher that can shut down the offensive team, or in football even, where a dominant defense can hold a good offensive team to a couple of touchdowns. In basketball, a great offense beats a great defense. I know that's a cliche, but so what you have to hope for, what you have to kind of have as your goal, is to just slow them down a little bit and make it a little bit tougher and contest a little bit more. And so maybe you're not making 18 threes, maybe you're making 9 or 10 or even 11 or 12, which is still a considerable number. But I think that with Michigan, with their point guard, Xavier Simpson, who's as good a on-ball, sort of a pressure ball kind of guy as Beilein has had, and then combined with the senior shooting guard and Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, who's also a good defensive player. And then, frankly, there's other wings, small forward, whatever you want to call him. Charles Matthews, who's really been their best overall player, he is also a physical, quick-footed guy who can cause some trouble. I remember first seeing that when Michigan went up and beat Michigan State in East Lansing, and he bothered those guys. So those three guys, if they can bother Jalen Brunson and maybe a little bit of Mikal Bridges, just even a little bit, and get that score down into the 70s, I think Michigan has a chance.
Well, I do too. I was talking to a couple of folks, and I think you just nailed it. If it's in the 70s, Michigan's got a chance in this game. You know, we've read so much, Sean Windsor, about John Beilein, and well-deserved. I don't know how you don't root for a guy that's so well-respected by his players and his peers, a former high school teacher and coach, and has come a long way and has done a wonderful job with this team. It's just been great. But you know what I haven't heard a lot about, and he's in his 17th season, Jay Wright, of course, the head coach of Villanova out of Philadelphia. They've had a five-year run where they're 163-21. And, you know, I know he gets the national media coverage, but here in the Midwest, I haven't heard much about him. Have you had a chance to attend any of his press conferences or been able to gather any more information on him?
Well, I did. I was at his press conference yesterday. He's also obviously a terrific coach and I think a likable character. I think a lot of the attention that he gets is for his style and the way he looks, you know, and people compare him to George Clooney. In fact, Beilein kind of joked about that the other day. If the two coaches were to be in a movie, who would the actors be that portrayed him? And Beilein's, well, you know, Clooney for Jay Wright, as you often hear. And then he suggested, Beilein said, Peter Falk of old Columbo fame would play him. So a lot of I think because of how he presents himself, and he's so poised and sort of relaxed, he's got that kind of natural sort of charisma, I guess. We get sidetracked by the fact that just how good a coach this guy is. And you're right, his team is awfully good offensively. They play a system that looks a little bit like the NBA and the way they space and shoot, and they've got usually 3 or 4 guys that can put the ball on the floor as well, which makes things really difficult. They also check. I don't think they play defense quite at the level Michigan has. But you're right. Jay Wright has had some really good teams. I think the word about him there for a while was that he couldn't get over he couldn't make the deep run. He had a lot of teams that got upset early that were really good teams in the regular season. But if he pulls this off tonight, I shouldn't say pull it off, but if he does what most people think he'll do, that'll be 2 and 3 years, and that's like Krzyzewski kind of level stuff, right?
No question, no doubt about it. Hey, Jalen Brunson, of course, you mentioned, Xavier Simpson, of course, who's not grew up and played basketball not far from here down at Lima Senior, of course, in Ohio. I would imagine you're going to see Simpson on Brunson, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, as long as he can. He's going to have to play a little bit better than he did Saturday night against Loyola on the offensive end. He was a little out of sorts. He wasn't reading the defense. You know, he had some turnovers. He got down on himself a little bit. He came back and bounced back in the second half with a better defensive effort. But absolutely, he's critical to slowing that Villanova attack down.
Good stuff, Sean. Thanks for taking the time in a busy day and a busy night. We will be reading tomorrow. Appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, Mike. Thanks very much.
That's Sean Windsor from San Antonio. He's already over at the Allodome, 9:20 tip tonight. University of Michigan taking on Villanova. I mean, you look at, the stats in this one tonight, scoring offense. You have a Villanova team averaging about 87 points a game. Michigan averaging 74. Field goal percentage, well, 50-plus for Villanova. Michigan's not bad at 46. Three-point field goal range, 40% for Villanova, 36 for Michigan. Three-pointers made per game. You know what? You thought it'd be more than this. Villanova, 11. Michigan, 9. Free throw percentage, Villanova, 77. Michigan, 66. They're going to have to get better at the line tonight. But here's the one that stands out. Michigan scoring defense, allowing the opposition just 62 points a game. Again, against a Villanova team that averaged 87 points a game. Villanova, their average win is 16 points. Michigan's 11. Field goal defensively, both clubs about 42%. So there's the numbers. You know, a lot of times in a number in a game like this, you throw the numbers right out the window. Villanova by 7.5, and it's a classic matchup here tonight. The University of Michigan and their stellar defense. They have won 14 games in a row, and as I mentioned, 11 of those away from Chrysler Arena. 9:20 tip, pregame show here in the ticket at 6:30. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. My name's Mike Miller, coming to you for the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. This is Drive Time right here again on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Our coverage of the game tonight gets underway at 6:30. Nash Icon's got the Michigan call. That comes up at 8:30 and 98.3, again, a Nash Icon. So we'll get you the national version tonight, the Westwood One call of the game, and the University of Michigan call of the game. Again, Michigan call, 8:30 pregame on Nash Icon. We have the complete broadcast starting with the pregame show here at 6:30. Sean Windsor joined us from San Antonio, Detroit Free Press columnist, and a speaker to radio, a guy that not only captained the University of Michigan and received numerous academic accolades, also was a part of the University of Michigan broadcast team. Again, former captain of the Wolverines, David Merritt, joins us. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. I guess my first question, Captain, is this. How do you stop a team like Villanova from shooting threes at the percentage that they shot, of course, on Saturday?
I mean, that was, a once-in-a-lifetime performance from three. To make 18-13 in the first half, that's extremely impressive. But I think a stat that you may want to reference is Kansas makes 18 the other night against Villanova makes 18 against Kansas the other night. Michigan has only allowed 18 three-pointers in the five games combined throughout the tournament. So even though Villanova can shoot it from deep, Michigan's top five in the nation in limiting three-point attempts against their opponents. And so I think that's the key tonight for Michigan to be able to guard the three-point line and make Villanova beat them in another way.
Well, I guess we'll get a little local with this one as well. We asked it to our last guest just because he played his high school basketball at Lima Senior, and that's, of course, Xavier Simpson, a defensive specialist. Goes without saying you will see him tonight, and Mr. Brunson, I take it?
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough matchup. Brunson's one of the best guards in the nation, probably going to win player of the year, maybe a first or second round draft pick if he leaves this year. But Xavier Simpson has been playing extremely well defensively throughout the entire year. It's where Michigan's defense starts and finishes. His ability to take guys out of their offensive play calls, annoy them. He's like a little pest, gets in their grill, able to get a lot of deflections, get out on the break and start Michigan's fast break. So I think Xavier Simpson is the X factor tonight. He struggled mightily the last game, and that's why Michigan struggled so much in the first half. But I think he's going to be confident tonight. He's got a big task, but if he's able to control Brunson, limit his offensive touches, his ability to get other guys involved, I think Michigan has a shot tonight against Villanova.
Well, he was the captain of the 2008-2009 University of Michigan basketball team. David Merritt joins us. Hey, Michigan down by 10 to Loyola Chicago, David, of course, on Saturday night, and came storming from behind in the second half. What ignited that comeback in your eyes?
Well, I think Michigan got some of the jitters out. They were able to get more stops defensively, and they let that defense actually turn into offense. And you can't really downgrade or downplay the performance by Mo Wagner. He was sensational all night, finished with 24 points and 15 rebounds. And his ability to not only score outside at the three-point line, but to go inside and punish Loyola for switching as much as they did, took advantage of getting offensive rebounds, able to put those back. And he was just a consistent force throughout the game. If Mo Wagner doesn't have the night that he had, I don't think Michigan is in this title game. So big ups for him. And I think with this game, he's going to have to be sensational again for Michigan to have a chance.
David, you played in your share of big basketball games in your lifetime. Tell me about going into a game, any big game, and a game like tonight for the University of Michigan, when it comes to nerves and jitters. And listen, I guess everybody's got their own style, you know, the frame of mind they'd want to be in going into something like this. But if you could share your thoughts with John Beilein, who you played for, what's he telling his team about this big spot for the Wolverines tonight?
I mean, I'm nervous right now. I'm not playing, but I'm nervous even talking to you on the radio. That's how engaged you have to be, and that's the level of pressure that this team is facing, being in a national title game. If they won this game, this would be Michigan's first national title since 1989. That's about 30 years. So you got about 30 years of a lot of games, a lot of years where there's been disappointments. Michigan has gone through stretches where they haven't made the tournament in over a decade. And to have this opportunity in a city like this, in a time where there's a lot of scandal in college basketball, but Michigan is one of the purest programs out there, there's a lot on the line. And so Coach Beilein is one of the best at two-day preps. He's able to really get his team to hone in on what the opposing team does well. And I'm sure he's got a really good game plan to figure out how to stop or at least contain this Villanova offense that almost scored 100 points on a very good Kansas team. He's a guy that stays in the moment, and I think he'll have the proper perspective to give this team and have them mentally prepared for what they're going to face. I also think a huge point is that they were in this position in 2013. So this isn't his first run-of-the-mill of how do you schedule film, how do you schedule walkthroughs, how do you schedule getting to the arena, what do you have the guys doing before the game. Now, Jay Wright has his experience as well, and I think that's why this matchup is going to be one for the ages. You got two guys who have been here. This is Villanova's a chance for them to win their second title in 3 years. There's a lot on the line, and I think that's going to make for a really exciting contest.
Hey, Dave, Michigan's won 14 straight, 11 of those, of course, away from Chrysler. Tell me a little bit about that. And, you know, I've often heard coaches say this. Sometimes it's easier to play on the road, less pressure in front of the home crowd. Is that part of it or anything else you've seen?
it really just speaks to Michigan's defense a lot, especially in this tournament. Offensively, Michigan has just not had it. But what's different about this team over prior years is that they're so good defensively, they are finding other ways to win, even when they're not making a ton of three-pointers, which is sort of their bread and butter. When they got it going from deep, usually, it's going to be a win. But that just hasn't been the case, especially in five out of these six tournament games where they've shot a very poor percentage from three. But because they're so good defensively, they've been able to stay in games. They've been able to win games in different ways. And that's why their winning streak is what it is because they lock down on the defensive end. They guard the three-point line. And what's really different from most Michigan teams under John Beilein, they rebound the basketball, especially on the defensive end. They're limiting opposing teams to one shot, and that's been critical for their success, especially in the tournament.
I don't know if I read this today, David Merritt, in the Philadelphia paper, or where exactly I read it prepping for this show, but somebody suggested the University of Michigan slowing the tempo and the pace down in this game. You played enough college basketball to go through, I'm sure, a couple of games where that was the case. Sometimes I think it takes the edge off a team and takes them out of their, I guess, out of their reflexes and out of their style. But tell me about that. Is that something you'll see from Michigan tonight?
I don't like that game plan. I really don't. I think Michigan needs to take advantage of running opportunities. I don't think they want to be in the half-court set a ton. If they can play quality defense, rebound the basketball, maybe even force some turnovers, I really like Michigan pushing the tempo when it can. Now, that doesn't mean that you just go at a frantic pace and, turn the ball over and make bad decisions when you do have those opportunities. But if you can stay composed, if you can run the lanes, I really think Michigan needs to get out on the break and get some easy opportunities at the rim and not slow it down and use a ton of the shot clock. I don't think Villanova can repeat its performance against Kansas. I really don't. I just think that's more of a one-time deal. And I think Kansas isn't as good as Michigan is defensively, but I'm not the one that would say you need to slow it down and sort of make this a game in the 60s. I think Michigan wants to be in the 70s, maybe even the 80s, and sort of rely on its defense to create opportunities.
Final question, Dave. You know what surprised me? You just brought it up about Villanova shooting like that. And I touched on this a couple of times. And listen, you played. Myth or is this a reality? I'm surprised that we've heard for so many years that being able to shoot effectively in a dome is something that's a very tough thing to do. Villanova didn't have any problems. Maybe they will tonight. And for Michigan fans, they hope that's the case. But tell me about this shooting with no stationary fixed objects normally as close to the basket as, again, you normally would see.
Yeah, they say it impacts depth perception. I can tell you when I played two games in the tournament my last year, I went 0-for-4 from deep, and I'm definitely blaming it on the dome because I just can't come to grips with me not scoring and then not being able to hit a three-pointer. So, yeah, of course it affects your ability. No, I don't know if it does. I don't think anyone does. It's easy to say when you're having an off-shooting night that it's the depth perception and it's being in a new environment. But I think, these guys are really good. They're really talented. Sometimes you just have an off night. As you saw, Villanova has the most three-pointers ever in a tournament game with 18. Didn't bother them much. So I just think you try to get as many reps up as possible. You try to be confident. You try to take good looks at the basket. Kind of let the chips fall where they may. Both of these teams can shoot it from deep. I think the team that has a better shooting night, especially from the three-point line, will probably win. And we'll see if Villanova can repeat its performance or at least shoot it at the same clip. And then for Michigan, I don't think they want to repeat their performances as of late. I think they want to kind of reach back to that Texas A&M game and see if they can get going like they did in that matchup.
Good stuff, David. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. I love to hear that the former captain of the University of Michigan basketball team is nervous 3.5 hours before game time. And, he captained in 2008 and 2009. Good stuff. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time, Dave.
Oh, looking for a great matchup tonight. Appreciate it.
That's David Merritt, captain, 2008-2009. University of Michigan basketball team under John Beilein. He was a walk-on from West Bloomfield High School, made the basketball team, was a non-scholarship player, and in his fifth year, captained the Wolverines, David Merritt. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time, where the 12-hour sales event continues tonight until 9 o'clock. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. A lot of great deals here. 2018 Jeep Compass Latitude. How about this? $138 a month. That is a 36-month lease. Great savings, by the way, in all the Ram trucks as well. Come on up and see us. MonroeSuperstore.com as well. This is Drive Time.